A royal blue background fills the screen with white words at its center, Sony Pictures Classics. In a logo, an oval encloses a palm branch, official selection competition, Festival de Cannes. A spiraling view retreats from a black and white microbial cluster, giving way to red letters, SBS. Credits appear over white. Saïd Ben Saïd and Michelle Marquette present a French-Portuguese co-production, SBS Productions, O Som Ia Furia, in co-production with Beluga Tree, Proximus, supported by ICA Minority Portuguese Co-Production Fund, Tourism and Cinema Fund, CNC and ICA French-Portuguese Co-Production Fund, co-produced by Diana Elbaum, co-produced by Luis Urbano and Sandro Aguilar. Executive producers, Kevin Schneiweiss and Lucas Joaquin. Associate producer, Katarina Marquette. Isabel Huppert. Brendan Gleeson. Marissa Tomei. Jeremy Renier. Pascal Gregory. Vinette Robinson. Ariane Bacare. Carlotto Cota. Senia Nanua. And Greg Kinnear. Produced by Saïd Ben Saïd and Michelle Marquette. Written by Maurizio Zacharias and Ira Sachs. Directed by Ira Sachs. Daytime. Outside a villa, a slender older woman with red hair walks toward a pool. Lush plant life and brightly colored flowers decorate the neatly manicured lawn. Dense trees stand in the distance. Wearing dark sunglasses, she pauses at the top of some steps and glances around. A light breeze rustles the hem of her gold-colored robe. The elegant woman descends the stairs, then stops and watches a butterfly flitter past. Striding over to a sunbathing area, she places items on a small table and spreads a blue towel out on a lounge chair. The red-haired woman steps into some shade and kneels by the pool's edge, then bats at the water. Unable to reach it, she shifts her position and tries again. A sound briefly catches her attention, but she dips her fingers in the pool once more and rubs the water on the back of her neck. The elegant woman pushes herself up onto the balls of her feet and watches the ripples spread out in the pool. Standing, she wipes off her hands and steps back to the sunbathing area. She drops her sunglasses down on the lounge chair and removes her robe, revealing a high-waisted red bikini underneath. Kicking off her chunky gold-colored heels, she pulls the halter of her swimsuit top over her head. Discarding it to the side, she dives into the water. As she swims laps, a title appears, Frankie. Carrying a breakfast tray, Maya, a teen girl in a halter top and shorts, walks toward the pool. Spotting Frankie swimming topless, she scowls.
Good morning.
The straps of a striped bathing suit peek out from under Maya's top.
There's people in the hotel, you know.
I don't see anyone.
They can take pictures.
That's okay. I'm very photogenic.
Maya walks away. In a room, a goateed man dons running shoes as a partially dressed woman sifts through a suitcase.
The whole thing's so unfair. You can't get over it. I'm one of the happiest, most perfectly romantic couples I've ever known.
There's no perfection, though. Like, I have their grievances. You see my yellow cashmere sweater?
I think one of them is going to be suddenly taken away from the other by this... this thing, this horrible thing, makes you lose faith in love itself.
So romantic all of a sudden.
Don't be cynical. Your father's going from romantic bliss to tears and despair.
The goateed man, Ian, grabs a t-shirt out of a dresser, then regards himself in a mirror.
I have to stop the bread.
Oh, don't stop, please.
I can't wait.
Putting on the shirt, he rifles through cash in his wallet. Now dressed, the woman, Sylvia, steps to his side and regards her reflection.
It's impossible to pretend we're enjoying this trip. It's a brutal thing she did, getting us all to come here at a time like this.
You sure wasn't your father's idea?
What do you think?
Ian watches her go. A wide view shows a picturesque town nestled on the slope of a lush mountain. Buildings with ornate spires and colorful homes make up the idyllic borough. An older gentleman with a graying red beard strolls around a bend and up a cobblestone path. He wears a cream-colored fedora, blue blazer, and white slacks. The bearded man, Jimmy, ascends a staircase. Bending toward a fountain set in a wall, he cups his hands to gather the water drizzling from an angled spout. He brings his hands to his lips and drinks, then shakes off his fingers and wipes his mouth. With a weary expression, Jimmy sits beside the fountain and removes his hat. On a deck, Michelle, a white-haired man holding binoculars, peers at Jimmy. A younger man, Thiago, speaks to Michelle.
We call that a fonte dos noivados, the engagement fountain. The tile work is from the late 18th century, from the reign of Dona Maria I. At that time, unmarried girls from all over the region would come here to drink from this ancient fountain. They would do this pilgrimage because there was a belief that the waters would help them find a good husband.
Jimmy leaves.
And did it work?
They say so.
How magnificent. If only it was so easy.
At a cafe.
You look tired today. Did you not get enough sleep?
Well, thank you very much. It's so nice to hear first thing in the morning.
Sorry, I didn't. Anyway, tired is sexy. Luciana.
She hands Jimmy a pastry box.
I'll pretend I believe you.
It's 14 euros.
Subtitles appear. His eyes are puffy. He's been crying. Jimmy lays cash on the glass display case.
Have a nice day, Mr. Jimmy. Say hello to the madam.
I have terrible allergies, if you want to know.
My husband, too. It's awful this time of the year.
Obrigado.
Thank you. At the villa, Frankie offers a pink sweater to Sylvia.
Will this one do?
She spots Frankie's bracelet.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, isn't it gorgeous?
Is it real?
Yeah, burnished gold and champagne diamonds, Pomellato vintage. It was given to me by a man I knew between Michelle and your father. I was very young. That was a long time ago. There were quite a few, you know. I never wear it. Not because of your father, Jimmy doesn't care, but it's a bit flashy, no?
No, not at all. It is exquisite.
I'm always afraid it'll get stolen or something, but now I'm like...
Frankie shrugs.
What the hell?
Can I try?
Sure.
She takes off the diamond-encrusted bracelet. Sylvia smiles as Frankie places it around her wrist.
Oh, he must have really loved you, this man.
Loved? I don't know. He liked me, and he was rich. I try never to confuse money and love. He said the colors were perfect for me, whatever that means.
A mustached man steps into view and kisses Frankie's forehead. There's a leak in my room. Really?
Switch rooms.
I asked. Nothing available.
Is the water dripping on you?
No, it's in the corner, but still, it's all night. Drip, 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 drip. It's impossible.
You're too sensitive.
You want to switch rooms?
You want to sleep with my husband?
The question is, do you want to sleep with your husband?
It's none of your business.
You started this.
Children, I haven't even had my coffee yet.
The mustached man reads a newspaper.
I'm gonna get some sun. You should try it sometime, Paul. It'd be good for your skin.
Still wearing the bracelet, Sylvia starts away.
Vivi!
Frankie points to her own wrist.
Oh, sorry. Forgot.
She takes back the bracelet.
Don't forget sunscreen, especially there on the side. Sun can be so unforgiving to your wrinkles.
Sylvia shoots Paul a cold look and leaves. Frankie locks eyes with him, and he averts his gaze. Wearing a loose-fitting, floor-length dress with brightly colored stripes, Frankie goes into the bathroom. Paul follows her and leans his forehead against the door jamb. Mom, I'm so unhappy. Of course you are. Spare me the irony. Paul, if anyone has a reason to complain, it's me. You must admit this vacation is far from idyllic. Frankie applies lipstick. But it's all good for you. You're moving to New York. You're young, in good health. The weather is gorgeous. All in one of the most beautiful places on Earth. I think I'm still in love with Anne-Sophie.
Oh, non, pitié, c'est pas possible.
Please, that's not possible. How come?
You
stay with these girls 2 years, wondering if you love them, so they leave you. As soon as they're gone, you discover you're in love. They can't go on. Anne-Sophie, Beatrice, Julie, you go around in circles nonstop. Anne-Sophie and you, it was over 2 years ago. You can't possibly still love her. You're the one who believes in eternal love. Standing from his chair, Paul approaches the doorway and regards his mother. Eternal love? I wouldn't go that far. You and Jimmy seem more in love now than when you first met. Paul, she left you. It's absurd. Meet the right woman and you'll forget Anne-Sophie. And you know the right woman for me? Yes, maybe. Great. At the engagement fountain, an attractive brunette cups her hand under the spout, then brings water to her lips and drinks. Straightening, she looks skyward and removes a pink scarf from around her neck. Passing a couple on a side street, Paul notices the brunette sitting by the fountain with a travel guidebook for Portugal. Rolling suitcases and other belongings sit beside her. He glances at her but continues walking. The brunette looks up from her reading as something catches her eye.
Jimmy!
Sorry, can I help you?
Yes, I'm lost.
I'm not a local here, but where are you going?
Jimmy, it's me. It's me. It's Eileen. I worked with Frankie in New York on the Noah Baumbach movie. I was her hairstylist.
I'm so sorry. She's
They hug.
Oh, my God. What a small world.
Yeah. Well, didn't Frankie mention?
Yeah, no, she talks about you all the time.
Oh, well, that's really sweet. Yeah, you know, in all my years in the film business, she's the only actress I've become really great friends with.
Yeah.
You know, with distance, it can be hard to keep up.
Absolutely. You know, it's just the other day, I was trying to remember that name of the restaurant you brought us to. Remember the last time we were in New York?
Which one?
I don't know, I was trying to recommend it to a friend. A classic American steakhouse, really
Skeens?
Good.
Skeens on 36th Street.
That's it. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. You like that mutton chop, huh?
Was that the last time we saw you? I thought maybe London also?
No, I haven't been to London. I'm hoping to get there.
Anyway, what are you doing here?
I've been in Spain. I've been working on the new Star Wars movie.
A bespectacled man approaches.
I tried a Farrah Fawcett on him.
Hey. We signed a confidentiality agreement.
Okay.
It's ridiculous, but it's Star Wars, and they're serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm Gary. I'm the second unit DP.
This is Jimmy. This is Frankie's husband.
You're Francois Cremont's husband. I'm a big fan. Wow, you're a lucky man.
I know I am.
So, did you find it?
Nobody knows. No, I can't understand these people, or they can't understand me. It's strange, because I thought it's supposed to be...
Michelle either. Arrives.
Maybe I can help.
Michelle, this is Eileen. A good friend of Frankie's from New York, and this is
Hi, Gary Donaldson.
I'm Frankie's first husband.
Yeah, Paul's dad.
Oh, I've heard so much about you.
Oh, I'm not sure I like the sound of that.
No. All good things. Frankie says that you have the best seafood restaurant in all of Paris.
Best. I don't know. That's very Frankie.
Thiago joins them.
Oh, this is Thiago, true local, born and raised here in Central.
Hi. Where are you trying to go?
Quinta de Boica.
Ah, Tabo Quinta de Boica.
Boica, not Boica. Yeah.
Boica.
Sure, I'll take you there.
Yeah? Sure. Okay, nice meeting you.
You too.
Yeah.
Gary, Michelle, and Thiago walk away with the suitcases.
You want a pastry?
Oh, please.
Oh, nice to see someone in the movie industry is prepared to take a pastry.
I know, I eat everything. It's the reason to travel.
Wow. This place is something else. You're gonna love it.
Yay! Delicious.
Eileen spots the others leaving.
Mm-hmm. Take care.
She goes to catch up with them.
Eileen!
Outside the villa, Sylvia talks on the phone.
Well, but that cost a fortune. Listen, my daughter's going to university soon. I don't need two bathrooms, and I don't mind if we have to go a bit further west. Okay.
Mom?
For comparison, maybe. It's just too far.
What are you doing?
Thank you. I'd appreciate that. Bye.
She hangs up as Maya walks over.
Can't get any reception inside.
Is this about the flat?
And why would you think that?
Because you look all sneaky there. I downloaded a WhatsApp for you. You can just use an internet connection. You don't need a phone line.
I tried, but you have to show me how to use it.
Maya wears an awkward look.
Dad was asking if I knew anything about a flat.
Did you say anything?
Not much.
What do you mean, not much?
I said I didn't know.
Good.
No, that's not good.
Maya strides away. Sylvia lingers a moment, then follows her daughter down a garden path to a small table.
Honey, Maya, listen to me. Let's not argue.
What?
Your father's just fishing around. He's looking for something that isn't there.
You're insane.
Don't use that word.
Why not? If you tell me lying is the worst thing I could do ever, and then you ask me to lie for you.
Maya, you're not lying. You're just holding information. Your father shouldn't know anything until there's something real to know. I'll tell him when the time's right.
Don't you think he knows when I'm lying? You always make me do this.
I'm not making you. I'm sorry. I'm just struggling, that's all. Come here, baby.
Sylvia hugs her.
You're my best friend. I don't want to make you unhappy.
Oh, please, Sylvia. I can't see how you're moving out won't make us more unhappy.
Stop calling me Sylvia. I am your mother.
Mother or best friend? Which one is it?
Why can't I be both?
Now, Maya carries her backpack along a dirt path.
Maya, where are you going?
It's not Independence Day if I tell you.
Stop.
She obeys.
Look at me.
Maya faces her mother.
Don't go very far. You know we're all meeting at the Paninia in the afternoon.
What's that?
It's a place at the top of the mountain that Frank is determined for us all to see.
I can't promise.
Maya? It's for Frankie!
Fuck Frankie! She's not even my grandmother!
Walking with Jimmy, Frankie eats a pastry.
And how does she look?
Ah, she looks great. Looks better. How long ago was that film?
5 years ago, maybe 6.
No, she's too skinny when we're in New York.
Maybe.
Just looks more mature, you know?
Oh, please, Jimmy.
What?
I hate that word, mature. It's offensive to a woman.
I don't know.
She peers through a building's windowed door.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if she and Paul get along?
What are you talking about?
New York can be a very lonely city. They would be good to each other. Eileen and Paul, Paul and Eileen.
Jesus.
What?
You invited her. This is all a plan.
No, I just think she would be perfect for him.
Christ, Frankie. You're playing Cupid again.
Oh. Don't Christ, Frankie, me. You of all people should understand. I don't want Paul to end up alone.
Well, don't let the kids find out it's your idea. They'll go mad. This is supposed to be a family trip.
Well, it still is. It's family with a plus one.
You come up with all these crazy scenarios in your head. You think you can manipulate everything, don't you?
I'm usually right.
Yeah. Okay.
What?
Well.
It's so funny.
I've got news for you, darling.
Yes? What?
Eileen has brought a friend.
A friend?
Ah, yes. Eileen is accompanied by Gary, I believe that's his name. A friend who looks very much like her boyfriend.
Oh, man, no. She wasn't supposed to bring anyone.
Well, quelle surprise.
Jimmy kisses her.
Okay.
Nodding, she looks skyward.
We will see.
At another villa, Gary sips coffee.
Place is incredible.
Glancing around, he steps outside.
Photos on the site don't do it justice.
He gazes upward at the building.
They should hire me to take new pictures.
Eileen stands on a terrace.
Hmm?
It's really, really.
They kiss.
Really nice. Must have been very expensive.
Oh, it's fine. George Lucas has been very, very good to me.
And to me. But who knows what the next job will be.
Well, I know. You know, that's why I want to make this movie. You know, I don't want to be a cameraman forever. I need to change gears before it's too late.
He plucks a leaf off a plant.
I hope so.
Gary pulls a small box from his pocket.
Here. Hey, I have something for you.
Oh!
Oh!
God.
Open it.
Eileen opens it.
Oh. I shouldn't have done this.
You said you liked it.
I know I did, but still,
I went back to the store in Valencia. It was still in the window. Mm.
She smiles at the ring in her hand.
You know what I was thinking?
What were you thinking?
I was thinking I want us to spend more time together.
He gives her a pointed look, and she nods.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just had this idea of just getting rid of the apartment up in the city and just moving into the house in Watermill full time, making a real home out of it.
Gary lifts his brow expectantly. Eileen feigns a smile.
All these plans all of a sudden.
Well, we'd have a beautiful house on the water and a nice apartment that I'd help with the rent on in the Upper West Side. I mean, we'd have two homes. We don't need anything more than that. What do you say?
She wears an uneasy expression.
With more time in Watermill, Eileen, you could write or paint or do some of those other things you always want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, without my apartment, we'd both save money. You wouldn't have to work so hard.
Mm-hmm. Gary takes her hand and she bites her lip.
I want to be with you. It's for us to be together.
Glancing down, Eileen shakes her head.
Hmm?
Is this a proposal?
He looks out at the verdant landscape beyond the terrace and adjusts his glasses.
I don't know. I hadn't really thought about it. I guess it is.
Eileen's mouth falls open.
What do you say?
She fiddles with the ring box.
I say.
She kisses him.
Let's go out. Let's go out. Let's see where we are. We just got here. I love this ring. I love it so much, Gary. And let's get your camera. Get your jacket. Let's see where we are before we plan the future.
Okay.
Clutching the box to her chest, she starts away.
Love this ring.
He gazes after her with a deflated expression. On a street, a trolley passes a graffiti-riddled building. Words on the side of the red and white vehicle read, Centra Atlantico. On board, Maya writes in a notebook. A teen boy with braces, Pedro, watches her. A boogie board rests at his side, and another teen boy sits across from him. Pedro calls out to Maya.
¿Qué está escribiendo?
She doesn't react, and he tries to get her attention again.
¿Qué está escribiendo?
Maya looks up from her notebook.
Disculpa.
I'm sorry, I don't speak.
Yes, you do. You speak very well.
Oh, uno.
I don't speak Portuguese.
Oh, I see. That's okay. What are you writing?
Oh, it's nothing.
Are you going to the beach?
I am. I take it this is the right direction.
Pedro smiles and nods.
Where are you from?
I'm from England, in the East Midlands. My family moved to London last year. You?
I'm from Porto, a few hours to the north. Bento here is from Sintra.
I live in Sintra. You here on vacation?
Sort of. Hey, can I rent a boogie board on the beach?
No, but you can use mine.
The boys sit with her.
No, that's okay.
It's fine. Bento has one too. We can take turns.
Have you ever been to Praia das Maçãs?
Never.
Oh, you're going to love it. I can't wait for you to see it. It's the most beautiful beach.
Spray this message. Beach of the apples.
Oh, there are lots of apple trees there.
None. I think it's called Apple Beach because of the apple in the Bible, you know?
No.
In paradise. The temptation. The original sin.
The Adam and Eve apple.
Yes.
That's insane.
We are a very Catholic country, you know?
With a shy smile, Maya turns to look out the window. Near a building with tall spires, Sylvia and Paul chat in an alcove covered in mosaic tiles.
You're excited about New York?
I'm happy to be going there, but excited. I can't be excited about anything at the moment.
Did you get the sublet?
I haven't sent the documents yet.
There's no better way to remedy an overwhelming situation than having to fill out paperwork.
He stares down at his feet.
Did you call that number I gave you, the tax lawyer?
Yes, I called him. What an arrogant guy. He says I should try to convince my mother to incorporate with me and her dad.
She nods.
I'll talk to Dad. You should talk to Frankie.
That is the last subject I want to bring up there.
Then you will have to pay the ridiculous inheritance tax.
You're so...
pragmatic?
That's one word for it.
It's just life, Paul. I don't make as much money as you do, and when you have a teenage daughter, you get practical.
Maybe.
With a dreary expression, Sylvia leans against the yellow and blue wall. She stares off distantly.
I'm gonna leave Ian.
How many times have you said that?
It's for real this time. Can't do it anymore.
Is that why you're calculating your inheritance?
Stop it.
It's just I've been hearing you say this for so long that the timing is really interesting.
You are so fucking self-righteous.
He tries to take her hand.
Come to New York.
Why would I come to New York?
New life, new city.
Yeah, well, it's not that easy.
No, it's not.
Paul leans against the fence behind them and locks eyes with her. She loops her arm around his, and he takes her hand. Elsewhere, Frankie and Jimmy meet up with Michelle and Thiago.
Bonjour.
Michelle kisses her cheek. Thiago was telling us the story of Saint Euphemia.
What a beautiful church. So simple.
Told you.
Hello, Thiago. Bonjour, senor. Hello, ma'am.
I was telling him that during the time of the barbarians...
It's okay, Thiago.
The beautiful princess named Euphemia fell in love with a commoner, but her father, the king, forbade it, and the young man fell gravely ill.
Just keep going, Thiago.
Yeah, so the disease spread all over the boy's body. His whole skin was full of horrible, bloody sores. So the princess went to see the boy against her father's orders, and she brought him here, where they used to come to see the view. And she washed him in the waters from the fountain.
And his skin went back to normal immediately?
Well, not immediately. He felt better slowly. It took him a few days. It was the legs first, then the arms, then the face, then his whole body. It was considered a miracle.
Mm-hmm. And people still come here to wash themselves in this miraculous water?
Yeah, they do, because the water is said to cure people of all maladies.
Where is the fountain?
It's down there, but it's not easy to find, because it's,
Frankie, please.
Please!
Stop this nonsense, Michelle. Three drops of water won't hurt you. I don't believe in this bullshit. Don't say that. It is not bullshit. Please stop. You look like you're at a funeral. I get that from Jimmy. Look. Jimmy wears a somber expression. I can't take it anymore. Michelle turns away from Jimmy. Be more gentle, Frankie. This is not all about you. Really? With her brow raised, Frankie regards her ex-husband incredulously. She glances around, then locks eyes with Michelle once more. He drops his gaze and shifts uneasily. Frankie looks toward Jimmy.
I'm going to ask you both a favor. At least to pretend that you accept my fate. For the sake of this trip. For today. For the family.
She glances at Michelle, then cocks her brow at Jimmy.
Please.
Turning to walk away, Frankie lightly grips the cuffs of her denim jacket. She steps over a border of jagged stones and heads off into the woods alone. A sign on a tree points out a path cutting through the dense forest, and a light breeze blows through the leaves. Frankie disappears from view. Later, she rounds a bend, traveling further down the winding, leaf-strewn path. Fog and the thick canopy overhead keep the sun from beating down on her. The fabric of her purple ankle-length dress rustles as she continues along. Coming to another curve, she heads down it and gazes at her surroundings. In the church, Michelle sits with his head bowed. Jimmy stands behind a pew, his hand resting on its back. He glances toward Michelle, then peers into an alcove beside him. Pushing off the bench, he walks away. Outside, Jimmy approaches Thiago near a small gate. The tour guide pockets his phone.
You don't really believe in all this, do you?
I don't know, señor. Whatever helps can hurt you.
I guess that's right.
You want one?
No, thanks.
Thiago puts a cigarette between his lips.
Are you married, Thiago?
Yeah, I am, señor. I have a wife and a son. They're leaving the north in Braga.
Oh, yeah, I see. Are you separated then?
No. Just for 5 months a year. I come down here for the tourist season.
He shields his lighter from the wind.
I'd imagine that can be difficult.
Thiago lifts his brow and nods. Taking a drag, he exhales a stream of smoke.
To be honest with you, it is. It's quite hard. My wife, she's like my police. I love her very much, but she doesn't even like me sitting next to another woman. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine what it's like when I'm here in Sintra. Mm-hmm. That's why I look so tired today. I went out to have dinner with a friend last night, another tour guide, and when I called my wife to tell her I love you, good night, she already knew where I'd been, what I drank, and who else was at the restaurant. You can imagine how it's like.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
He takes a seat beside Jimmy.
We stayed up for hours on the phone, and it's not good for my business. I have to stay alert. The days are not short, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't even know why I stay married.
Jimmy looks over at him.
I'm sorry, señor. It's not to bother you. It's all good. I should go see about your friend now. Make sure we didn't lose him. This is not really a place for tourists, and it's quite hard to find the place of the miraculous waters.
As Thiago walks away, Jimmy gazes after him in thought. On a long, winding flight of steps, Gary follows Eileen.
You're walking so fast.
That's my normal.
We're not in the city, you know.
He hitches up his camera bag.
You think you're trying to get away from me?
Her smile fades.
Hey.
She stops and turns.
Listen to me.
Eileen faces him properly.
I want change. I don't want to just continue on like this is all going to last forever. You know, I want to start something new.
Smiling, she shakes her head and shrugs.
You just have to make your movie.
No, that's not it. Well, maybe I will, maybe I won't, but I'm ready to settle down. You know, and I love you. I love being with you. Which is why this house in the watermill could be the answer. You know?
As they walk toward tour groups, Gary pulls ahead.
If I could convert that garage into a studio for me, you could have that second bedroom all to yourself. I'd knock before entering. Promise. What do you say?
He turns and finds her gone.
Eileen!
Glancing around, he searches the sea of unfamiliar faces with a confused expression.
Eileen!
In the woods, Frankie continues walking down the path with a blank expression. Her dark sunglasses obscure her eyes. Hearing music up ahead, she cranes her neck and slows her pace. Frankie passes gardening equipment beneath a small overhang. As she continues on, the path beneath her heels gives way to flagstones overgrown with grass. She pauses, and a faint smile crosses her lips. Up ahead, people mingle at a barbecue. Frankie starts away, but two women notice her and approach.
Madame Cremon!
Frankie turns back.
Madame Cremon! Oh, Madame Cremon!
The gray-haired woman touches her chest.
I'm a big fan.
You must have good taste in movies.
I know you from TV. Archivos do Vaticano.
The Vatican Files. Uh-huh.
Frankie tries to go.
Do you want to come with us? It's my sister's birthday. So she will be delighted if you take a toast to her. Please.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Merci. She identifies really with the character of...
Elsewhere, Michelle and Jimmy walk through a garden with moss-covered stone walls.
Just as the sun rises every morning and the night comes at the end of the day, I was certain that Frankie and I were going to be together forever. So when one day she told me she was leaving, I wondered, how is it possible?
They stop, and Michelle looks thoughtful.
When we got married, I believed in those vows, till death do us part, and all of that.
You always were a good Catholic.
You know, until today, I hadn't been inside a church in a long time. But yes, was raised in a very Catholic family.
Michelle scratches his brow, and they continue on.
Frankie and I were so young, and I was scared. I didn't know if anything was going to work out. The restaurant, my relationship to my own family, Frankie. Mm-hmm. It's hard to remember now. I remember mostly the fun, the exciting parts. But it was so scary to be young, no?
Oh, yeah.
He regards Jimmy soberly.
You never met my father, did you?
I don't think so.
It was tough. He was in the resistance, you know. A real hero and a real Catholic. Marriage for me was a lifesaver. I couldn't even imagine my life without Frankie. But yet, today, I know that her leaving was the best thing that ever happened to me. I met Thierry. And I finally allowed myself to fall in love with a man.
Michelle smiles and strokes his beard. Jimmy grins at him.
I remember the day you called to tell Frankie.
Frankie acted so shocked. I almost gave her an Oscar.
Ah, no, it wasn't a performance.
Oh, please.
Well, I was there.
Please. She should have known.
She didn't.
Oh, amazing how people sometimes choose not to see what is right in front of them.
She told me she never knew, which means that your performance must have been very convincing. You should have got the Oscar.
Leaning against a small building, Tiago returns a cigarette to its carton. Jimmy and Michelle return.
This is the Cappella Manuelina. Mm-hmm. It was built by Geronimo monks in the 16th century. It was a sacred place for meditation and reclusion.
Just a minute, my dear Jimmy.
Jimmy steps aside with Michelle. Tiago goes around the building.
After Frankie, things might change.
Please.
After, if there's somebody, and I hope there will be.
Michelle.
Life takes turn, you know. Things change.
I don't know what after Frankie means. There's no after Frankie for me.
Thiago returns. At the party, Frankie sits with the gray-haired woman's sister. I saw your photo in the magazine. The one they took in the hospital, you know. Do you remember? The photo that they took. It's great. You fought like a lioness, madam. It's true. My best friend went through the same thing. Frankie's eyes widen. She was a quite extraordinary woman. So strong, just magnificent. But all the same, I lost her. But you won. Here you are. You are a fearless woman. Frankie looks uncomfortable. The gray-haired woman brings over a cake.
Please anniversario!
She sets it before her sister, and someone lights two candles on top. As guests begin to sing, the birthday girl waves for them to stop.
No.
She addresses the group.
A maravilhosa Françoise Carmot, que fez com que o meu 88th anniversary was ainda mais alegre.
She puts her arm around Frankie. To you, Francois Cremon, you have made my birthday for my 88th year even more beautiful. She blows out her candles and someone relights them. Frankie watches with a sad grin. Everyone stands and claps, and she reluctantly joins in. She raises a glass and clinks it with the others' glasses. On the beach, people on boogie boards ride along the waves. Wearing only her bikini, Maya walks through the sand to her backpack and pulls a blue towel from inside. She wraps it around her damp body. Elsewhere, Pedro wears a wetsuit and carries his boogie board away from the ocean. He holds a pair of swimming flippers in his other hand. Pedro pauses on the wet sand and scans the area. He cocks one eyebrow and continues onto the beach. Later, he wears his wetsuit partially pulled down, exposing his fit torso. He approaches Maya and sets the boogie board and flippers before her. She puts aside a book and glances up at him. Pedro lingers a moment, then walks away. Now, Maya carries the boogie board tucked under her arm. She gazes out at the water before her. Passing families and other beachgoers, she strolls into the ocean. On the streets of Sintra, Sylvia gets pulled from her thoughts as Ian approaches with two coffee cups. She takes one from him.
Oh, wait. I think it's the other one.
What are you talking about?
Your coffee.
No, mine's a cappuccino.
Yeah, mine's with skim milk.
Oh.
They swap cups and each take a sip. Ian waves his hand.
Oh, wait.
Ian.
I'm confused.
For God's sake, sweetheart. You've just run 4 miles. A little fat won't kill you.
Taking the other cup, she steps away and checks her phone. Ian approaches and watches her.
Another letting agent.
Her eyes widening, she stows her phone.
Look for it, Ian, and you shall find it.
Sylvia heads down some steps, and he hurries after her.
Don't be such an ass. Maya told me.
She told you what?
She told me. So you don't have to hide it from me anymore, Sylvia.
I don't know what she told you, because there's nothing to tell. Why would you ask her anyway? Why would you involve her?
It's
not some Machiavellian scheme. I'm just looking.
Which means that you're thinking.
She shrugs.
Can't be that surprised.
I'm not surprised. But it makes me sad. What we're going through, I think it's normal.
I don't want normal.
Sylvia looks at him with a weary expression. In the mosaic-tiled alcove, Frankie sits alone on a bench and hums. She sways slightly and stares off with a distant expression. As someone approaches, Frankie gets pulled from her thoughts. Gary steps into the alcove, taking shelter from the rain. He removes his glasses and smiles at her as he cleans them off on his shirt.
Frankie?
Hello?
Frankie, bonjour. Francois. I'm Gary. I'm with Eileen. We arrived this morning.
Ah, you're the friend.
Oh, she told you about me.
No, she didn't. My husband did. I guess you met him earlier.
It's such a pleasure to meet you. Eileen and I are working together on Star Wars on the second unit DP.
Wow, that must be a lot of work.
I'm tired. Thankful for the break.
First time in Sintra?
First time in Portugal. Ah. Yeah. We've been shooting for nearly a month, and when Eileen told me you were here, I said, let's go. I'm a big fan, you know.
I'm a big fan of Eileen's. She's been a good friend.
Yeah, she and I met on another movie we did together, The Void. Mm-hmm. I was the principal DP on that. Mm-hmm. Been hanging out, you know?
I'm not sure what that means.
I love Eileen.
Ah, yeah, that's something.
Yeah. Frankie, Eileen says. May I call you Frankie?
That's what my friends call me.
Gary nods, and she rubs her wrist.
You know, you actually look even better in person.
You're being kind.
No, it's true. It's true. I have something to wanted to talk to you about if we can ever find a good time. I have a film project I want to direct.
Your first time directing?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, no, my first feature. Mm-hmm. But I've thought about it for a long time. And I've shot over 18 movies for other people. I think I'm ready, you know? And I think you and I would share a similar taste in a certain kind of cinema. It's about an opera singer that loses her voice.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I think you'd be perfect for it.
I can't sing.
That's just it. She's lost her voice. You know, it's like a silent film acting. I can't think of anybody more expressive for the role. Like Greta Garbo.
Or Fatty Arbuckle.
He smiles awkwardly.
Can I send it to you?
If you'd like. When are you thinking of shooting this?
Well, it won't happen now. It'll take at least a year to prepare. You know the business.
I see.
You know, Frankie, I'm going to take time off in order to work on this film. And I have a house in Watermill, about a little under 2 hours outside of the city. Beautiful place. And I've asked Eileen to come live with me. Don't you think it would be a good idea for her to settle down, not travel so much, not be so distracted with projects she doesn't really care about?
Does it matter what I think?
Well, you know her well.
Frankie shrugs and shakes her head.
Yes, but does it matter? You've invited her, so then you should know. Eileen is the kind of woman who'll tell you straight to your face what she thinks. No bullshit, Eileen. And no bullshitters. She doesn't have time for people who are not very real, very sincere. That's why I like her.
She glances out at the rain and leans forward.
This rain is going to stop soon. If you'll excuse me, I'll go look for my son. I haven't seen him since the morning, and this was meant to be a family vacation. See you later. Bye.
Frankie gives him a polite smile and leaves, hanging his head with a frown. Gary pushes up his glasses. Glimpses show the many varied species of trees around Sintra. A light fog rolls through the air. Atop a high peak, a building with a clock tower rises above the mist. As she walks up a paved road with her son, Frankie fiddles with the diamond-encrusted bracelet on her wrist. I hardly slept last night. Your migraines again? Awful, getting worse and worse. Take your pills. I do. Increase the dose. I'll talk to Dr. Bernhard. It doesn't work that way. I already take a lot. So what at this stage? Frankie looks at him with a wry smile. Sorry, I apologize. No, don't apologize. I don't want you to suffer. You're right. At this stage, who cares? Anyway, you seem in great shape. Here. She removes the bracelet from her wrist and waves it in front of her face. Frankie holds it out to him. I want you to have it. Why? It's worth at least 40,000 euros. If I give it to you now, you pay no tax. Put it somewhere safe, then in a couple of years. It's yours. No one will ever know. I don't want it. Maybe your future wife will like it. How about I start with a girlfriend? Life in New York is very expensive, you know. Paul shakes his head. I'll have a very good job. As I told you, guess what? I earn a lot. Yes, I know, and I disapprove. Your approval makes no difference to me. Here, take it. Frankie tries to put the bracelet in his pocket, but Paul takes it into his hand. As they continue walking, he jiggles it. Another thing we need to discuss is this trust idea that Sylvia mentioned. Yes? She shrugs. Money is your field. What is it exactly? We need to ask a lawyer, a specialist in these issues. You don't jump into it. Let's not talk inheritance tax, perhaps. The vacation is to get away from that. In my case, it's simple. All I have is the Paris apartment. I've put it on the market. I'll bequeath the proceeds to the conservatory. Paul stops. What? You're giving it away? They continue ahead. Does Jimmy know? Yes, of course. He nods and purses his lips. You don't need me. You've made that abundantly clear. And Jimmy has done well. His savings cover all his needs. Sylvia can count on Ian. I bet he makes even more than you. No doubt. I'm not complaining, Mom. I have no wish to live in Paris. If you want to donate the apartment, do it. I'm just surprised. How much is it worth? So much? 3 million, in our neighborhood. You must be wrong. Don't belittle me, Paul. There's no need for it. He wears an irritated expression. The conservatory has promised to set up a scholarship. The François Crémant Scholarship to aid young actors. I see. Yes, it's vanity, but that's how it is. It's what I want, so I'm making it happen. Paul's lips tighten into a thin line. But it must be done properly. Can you make sure of that? What? That they set up the scholarship. Come on, you make them sound like crooks. Pausing, Frankie shakes her head. She steps to the side of the road and faces him. Have you seen Eileen? My friend Eileen, who arrived this morning. The one you keep talking about? My hairstylist friend. She's really talented and so smart. She makes me laugh. I'm sure you'd like her. She lives in New York? Frankie nods. She's single? She shrugs. That I don't know. You'll see. She's very pretty. And just happens to be in Sintra when we are. She's working in Spain, right next door. Wasn't this meant to be a family vacation? But she's on the new Star Wars. It's wonderful for her. Shows you how good she is. It's funny. Most mothers think no one's good enough for their sons. I don't know which mothers you mean. Not mine, for sure. As long as he wasn't Jewish and he was a man, that was just fine by her. It was fine, even if he was homosexual. Paul tightly grips the bracelet in his hand. Paul, all your life, I've given you everything you wanted, and you are never content. Nothing is ever enough for you. Not any one woman, nor man, not your mother, nor your father. He tosses the chain. You're crazy. What are you doing? I don't believe it. Frankie jogs back down the road to search for the bracelet, and Paul storms away. At the beach, Maya follows Pedro down steps to a bluff overlooking the ocean. He wears only his swim trunks, and she wears her shorts with her bikini top. Maya glances out at a village near the shore.
Is that Solcintra?
No, that is the town of Praia das Missas, just like the beach.
It's so pretty.
I knew you'd love it. If you want, I can buy you a postcard. My whole life, I would come here with my parents and my sister. Every summer until I was 12.
And then what happened?
Then my parents got divorced. And my vacation time had to be divided between time with mom and time with dad. So there was no time for the Sapo Beach anymore. But then I met Bento in Lisboa last year. We played football against each other in a national tournament. His school won, but we became friends after. And he invited me to visit him in Sintra.
She stands with her back to him, and he puts his hands on her waist.
Whenever I come, he and his friends bring me back here.
They gaze out at the ocean.
They know how much I love this place.
Maya looks up at him, and he turns her to face him. Pedro gives her a light peck on the lips, then pulls her in for a deeper kiss. As they part, he puts his hands on Maya's shoulders.
One time we were here, before my parents got divorced. And I remember my father took an apple from his bag, and before he offered it to my mom, he made a joke about this being the beach where Adam tempted Eve with the apple. The sun was setting, and just the sound of the waves breaking in the white sand. How could she resist? How could any girl?
He gazes at her with a smile, then starts up a dirt path. Grinning, Maya follows him, and our view lingers on the waves lapping onto the shore. In the foggy woods, Eileen walks down the paved road and gazes upward. Her floral bohemian-style dress hangs off one of her shoulders. She carries a black fanny pack in her hand. Scanning her surroundings with a placid expression, she slings the bag over her arm. A faint smile plays on her lips. Something up ahead catches her attention, and she changes her course. On all fours in the brush, Frankie searches the dense foliage. Eileen approaches her.
What did you lose now, Frankie, darling?
If you stumble upon a very expensive Italian bracelet, it's mine.
Seriously?
Gold and lots of diamonds.
You're joking.
I'm not.
What happened?
My stupid son.
Oh.
It's the only one I have.
Frankie reaches for her.
Oh. Help me up here.
Eileen complies, and they hug.
Oh, Eileen, it's so good to see you.
Good to see you.
My darling.
As they part, Eileen notices Frankie's dazed expression.
Frankie?
Oh, I'm okay.
She sways and collapses.
Oh, help me. Frankie.
At a cafe, Sylvia sits across from Ian. Her plate lies empty before her. With a furrowed brow, she gazes off with a troubled expression and wrings her hands. An employee brings food and switches it out with Ian's previous course. He gestures to his wife.
You're not gonna eat?
No, I'm not hungry.
Oh, excuse me. Can I have a glass of plain water, por favor?
Sylvia interlaces her fingers, her pensive expression unchanging. Staring down at his plate, Ian picks at his food.
Regardless of what I feel,
than what I think you're feeling. You've got a home and an amazing daughter, and maybe it's my personality. I don't know. I didn't grow up like you, all of you. Of course, I can fantasize once in a while about what my life would be like if I made different choices. It's normal. It's human. But actually going through a divorce.
He shakes his head and fiddles with his food.
That hasn't crossed my mind.
Never.
Ian sets down his fork and leans back.
No.
Sylvia shrugs and shakes her head.
Well, I can't say the same.
He sets his elbows on his chair's armrests.
Then you must know there's only one ground for divorce under British law, which is the marriage has irretrievably broken down. Five facts constitute this ground. Adultery. Unreasonable behavior. 2 years separation if both parties consent. 5 years separation if one party consents. And 2 years desertion.
What? You did more research than I did.
Of course I did. I called a lawyer. What did you expect?
The server pours a small amount of wine. Sylvia tastes it and nods for him to fill the glass.
In the unlikely event that you are granted a decree absolute. Since you don't have a salary, your maintenance would get you, according to our calculations, a one-bedroom flat in Upper Edmonton, or maybe a two-bedroom, one-bath in Lower Edmonton.
As Ian resumes his meal, Sylvia stares off with a somber look.
I'm gonna go.
She sets down her wine.
You're not gonna pick up Maya with me?
No, I wanna go see the Regalera.
What is the Regalera, may I ask?
Doesn't matter.
Sylvia leaves. On the paved road, Eileen fiddles with Frankie's purple scarf in her hands as they walk.
Shouldn't we call a doctor?
No, no. I'm fine.
You sure?
Yes, I was down on my knees for so long, so when I got up, I just felt faint for a moment.
Oh, no, no, you didn't just faint, sweetie. You had a seizure.
Ah, bon?
Yeah. You scared me to death.
Eileen brushes hair away from Frankie's face. A smile washes over the dying woman's lips.
I'm sorry.
She pats Eileen's back, and the younger woman grins.
Sure you're all right?
Frankie rubs her arm.
No, I just feel a little cold. Don't you?
Let's go back to the hotel.
Eileen places her hand on Frankie's back.
It's not far, I think.
They both glance over their shoulders. Moving her hand to Frankie's waist, Eileen leans close.
Has this happened before?
I have one of these every other day now.
Eileen nods and tries to look Frankie in the eye, but she avoids her gaze.
I thought you were fine.
I was. After the treatment, I had 2 years completely cancer-free. It was great. I went back to work and I made 2 films back to back. One in England, one in France. Mm-hmm.
You tell me you're exhausted.
Yes, but only because it was a long shoot. The one in Bath, and we had to be outdoors in the winter. It wasn't easy, but it was wonderful, and I felt fine.
Eileen gazes down with her brow furrowed in thought. They step over to a moss-covered guardrail and lean against it.
I don't want to go into all the details, but the cancer has spread. It's everywhere. They don't think I'll see the new year.
Oh, Frankie.
The difficult part for me is seeing people cry, so please, don't cry.
Shaking her head, Eileen suppresses tears and flashes her friend a sad smile.
I wanted you to come here because I wanted to meet my family.
The younger woman nods and tries to stay composed.
I want us to have a good time, which for me now means just time together.
Frankie locks eyes with her and smiles faintly.
I'm going to miss you.
They hug.
Terribly.
I know you will.
Eileen rubs her friend's arms.
Oh, are you cold? Are you cold?
I'm okay.
She hands the scarf back to Frankie, who ties it around her neck. Eileen glances off.
Do you have any idea where we are?
Frankie looks around with a frown and shakes her head.
I have no sense of direction.
I don't know why I trust you.
Let's go this way.
As Frankie starts ahead, Eileen fights back tears. She follows her friend up the narrow road. As a small vehicle drives past them, the two women step aside. Frankie flags it down and starts after it. Let's get it.
Please.
On the vehicle.
He has a lot of plans, this Gary.
He's a really sweet guy, actually. Had a lot of fun together. I think the script will be good.
But
he's a lot deeper than he seems.
But you know he's not the right one for you, Eileen. You must.
Is there a right one for me?
Of course there isn't.
Sometimes I think I've been looking my whole life.
Find it before you look for it.
Frankie gives Eileen a pointed look, and the younger woman smirks.
Trouve avant de chercher. It's what Jimmy says. One of his famous quotes. Paul Valéry.
Frankie rolls her eyes in thought.
Breton.
Or Breton, perhaps. Eileen nods faintly with a smile.
Trouve avant de chercher. Trouve avant de chercher. Find it before you look for it.
Eileen gives an amused nod, then shrugs in resignation. Frankie loops her arm through Eileen's as the younger woman suppresses tears. They lean their heads together with peaceful smiles. Outside her villa, Eileen leans over the terrace wall and gazes out at the verdant countryside. Gary ambles down a sloping path and hitches up his camera bag on his shoulder. He spots Eileen and slows his pace.
Eileen?
She turns, transforming her somber look into a smile. Extending her arms, she wraps them around his neck, and they embrace. Her smile falls.
Oh. Hey. Hey, honey. Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. It's okay. It's okay. Hey. You don't have to say anything. Okay.
Gary holds her tight as she buries her face in his neck and weeps. Eileen steps back and wipes her eyes, composing herself.
I came here, wasn't it?
Her eyes well with tears as she gazes into his.
When I came here, I wasn't expecting so much.
I know me neither. I don't know if it's the mountains or the air or what, but I'm gonna leave, Eileen.
Looking emotional, she bites her top lip.
We still have...
No, I know. But
days
I'm just gonna go to Lisbon for a night or two. Oh. It's supposed to be a great town.
He nods. Eileen interlaces her fingers.
Really sorry, Gary.
No. Don't apologize. Hey, my feelings for you, that's not reciprocal. And besides, I understand how much you value your friends and stay here. You know?
She tugs his jacket's hem.
But when you shoot your movie, I'm going to come and work on them.
With a sincere look, he squeezes her hand. His smile fades as he releases it.
I don't think that's such a good idea anymore. I hope you understand.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Gary nods.
I have a car coming and I will pack.
He heads inside. Eileen stares off in thought. Placing her hand on her hip, she glances out at the landscape. She wears a conflicted expression as she wanders away from the villa. In her room at her villa, Frankie lies naked and asleep in bed. Jimmy sits in a chair in the corner of the room watching her. He wears a grave expression. He hangs his head in thought. Shuffling his feet, he removes his shoes and stands. Jimmy unbuttons his pale blue shirt. Frankie sleeps with her back facing him as he climbs into bed. Placing his hand on her side, he tenderly kisses her bare skin. With her eyes still closed, Frankie turns and embraces him. Jimmy holds her tight and kisses her cheek. She strokes his back as he buries his face in her neck. He sweeps her hair aside and kisses her passionately. Jimmy continues peppering her neck with more kisses, and she wraps herself around him even tighter. He places his hand on her backside. The couple continues kissing. Elsewhere in the villa, Paul answers the door to Eileen.
Buen día.
Is Francoise here?
You must be Eileen.
Yes, yes, and you are...
Come in. I'm Paul.
That's what I thought. I just came to see how your mother is.
She's resting upstairs.
That's good. Okay.
I'm making tea. Do you want some?
No, I just really came to just see how she is.
Leaving the door open, she follows him into the kitchen.
An amazing place.
It is. She don't mind a few leaks.
You're moving to New York?
And you live there, is that right?
23 years. Do you know where in the city you'll be living?
I don't know.
I thought your mother told me you'd found a place already.
My mother thinks she knows everything. She has all these plans, you know.
Of course. She's in a hurry.
Paul nods.
So you know?
Yes, I'm sorry. If you ever need anything.
We'll be fine. Thank you.
Turning his back to her, he grabs a tin from the cupboard. He faces her with an apologetic look.
I'm sorry.
Eileen steps closer.
Your mother invited me here, you know.
I know she did. She wanted us to meet. She's afraid I'm going to end up alone in New York City.
Maybe she just wanted me to be around. We're really good friends, you know.
Paul makes tea.
Can I tell you a story about Franky?
I don't think that's necessary, Paul. I don't.
But I want you to hear it. It will help you to understand our family a little better. When my mom first started seeing Jimmy, he took us on a trip to the Algarve. Have you been?
Never.
Praia de Felicia. Beautiful beach. South of here. Mom, Jimmy, and Sylvia. His daughter, Sylvia. Have you met Sylvia?
No, I haven't.
She's lovely. A little damaged, but lovely. We all went to the Algarve together. Mom had moved to London, but only for a short time, for a film. But clearly, she and Jerry were also testing the water for this new family to be. A family vacation was decided, and off we went. I barely spoke any English at the time. I was just your average French schoolboy. So as you can imagine, I was nervous. Excited, but nervous, particularly because of Sylvia. Really, you might not know it now, but she was the most beautiful girl ever. She is a few years older than me. I was maybe 15 and she was 18 or 19.
He hands her a mug.
Sure.
She shakes her head.
She had a woman's body already. A beautiful body. When I saw her in bikini, oh my God, I was such a boy.
Eileen wears an awkward expression as she sips her tea.
Anyway, it was summer and hot, and she and I would spend the whole day on the beach together.
They enter another room.
Maybe I don't need to go on. You get the picture right.
Paul takes a sip of his tea.
One night, Mom and Jimmy went out to dinner, and we said Sylvia and I are going to stay home and watch TV. The movie Grease was on. Do you remember?
She nods.
I don't know what got into me, because I was actually a very shy boy. Pimples and skinny and very uncomfortable. But I got up and I started to imitate John Travolta and his choreography. I grabbed her so we could dance together, but she screamed. Not because she didn't want to, no, she was sunburned. So naturally I offered to put some lotion on his shoulders.
Paul bites his bottom lip.
She took a shot off.
He sips his tea.
When my mom and Jimmy came back, we are having sex on the couch.
His smile fades.
Me and my student-to-be stepsister. So as you can imagine, it was the end of this new family idea. And I was sent back to live with Michel, my father, in Paris. And my mom moved to London to live with Jimmy and Sylvia.
Eileen looks uncomfortable.
And that was that.
She puts down her tea.
You see, in Portugal, I lost my mother once already. It's only sim-sitting that I'm here again now.
Paul and Eileen share a lingering gaze. He steps closer.
She's right about one thing, you know. You're very attractive.
She searches for words.
Is that a compliment?
He shrugs.
Maybe. My mother would like us to get married, so... Do you think you're the marrying type?
Her lips parting slightly, Eileen shakes her head with an uncertain look. She gives a polite smile and shrugs.
Not too.
Paul gives her an understanding nod.
I didn't think so.
He gazes downward, and Eileen avoids facing him. She brings her hand to her forehead. Her brief smile fades, and she rubs her temple. Paul suppresses a laugh. In their room, Jimmy lies awake in bed, staring up at the ceiling. He smiles. His happy expression quickly fades. Jimmy pulls his arm out from beneath his head. Now, a view through a doorway shows Jimmy fully dressed, descending steps. He pauses in an archway. He continues on down the narrow corridor. Pausing again, he faces an adjoining room. In a library, Frankie sits at a piano, gazing down at the keys as she plays. She briefly lifts her eyes. Jimmy's entrance into the room catches her attention, and she smiles. She scoots over so he can sit beside her. Jimmy wears a troubled expression. He flashes her a sad smile, and she does the same.
Sorry.
He hangs his head.
Don't. It's very sad. Very sad indeed.
Frankie purses her lips. Leaning against him, she smiles.
One more?
No. I'm going to go for a walk, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I'll meet you all at Peninha.
He nods. She kisses his head. He wears a longing expression. Frankie gets up from the bench and rubs her hands over his back as she leaves. Jimmy hangs his head. At the beach, Maya and Pedro walk side by side on the shore. She carries her sneakers by their laces in one hand. Pedro steps past Maya toward the water. He offers his hand and she takes it. They stroll onto the wet sand together, approaching the shoreline. The teens exchange coy glances as they go. The pair travels out of view. Outside the villa, Frankie wears a form-fitting leather jacket and a flowing peach-colored dress as she walks up the dirt path. She passes a gardener trimming hedges hanging over a stone wall. On the winding paved road, Paul walks alone, gazing skyward. At the beach, Maya carries her backpack as she hurries up a staircase. Glancing over her shoulder, she takes off at a run. In Sintra, Frankie climbs the sloped cobblestone street. She removes her dark sunglasses as a group of young people passes her. Near the beach, the Sintra Atlantico trolley slowly travels along the road. Maya sits on board with her backpack in her lap. She gazes out the window with an inscrutable expression. By the engagement fountain, Jimmy sits with his head leaning back against the wall. Donning his fedora, he rests his elbows on his thighs and hangs his head. Jimmy steels himself and walks away. Elsewhere, Ian steps out of a cafe with a bottle in hand. Something catches his attention and he gazes ahead. The trolley pulls to a stop nearby and passengers deboard. As she steps down, Maya stops in the doorway and waves with a small smile. Ian glances to the side and notices Sylvia waving back at their daughter. He locks eyes with his wife, and the pair shares an awkward silence. Sylvia breaks the stalemate as Maya approaches, and the mother and daughter hug. Ian looks on with an uneasy gaze. On a rocky hillside trail, Eileen walks with Jimmy.
How did you find Frankie?
Beyond recovered.
She's a star.
No, it's wonderful. And complicated.
I can imagine.
You know, people seldom say no to Frankie.
I know, she must be terribly disappointed with my visit.
You didn't expect you to show up with a boyfriend.
Ex-boyfriend.
Oh?
As soon as we got here, he proposed.
And?
He's on a train to Lisbon now.
Aww.
Further up the mountain, Frankie walks the same trail. She overhears them below. Frankie stops and peers over a railing, still staying far enough away to be out of sight. Jimmy and Eileen walk side by side.
I've always loved New York. Had a real love affair with it for the longest time, but now everything about it is irritating me. Constant noise, the development, the terrible subways. All my favorite restaurants are gone or going.
Oh, not Keen's.
But you can't eat at Keen's every night.
Why not?
Eileen beams as they continue their slow trek.
You know, if Gary had proposed to me when we were in New York, I would have answered differently. But there's something about being here. I don't know. I felt strong.
Wind blows through her hair as she turns to face him and hangs her head.
You know, Jimmy, I'm hoping to be in London before the end of the year. There's a job, and it will be for several months. I hope that I can be a help to Frankie. And to you.
When will you be there?
Soon. Just waiting to hear from production.
Oh, please let me know. I'd love to show you around.
They share a long look, then both avert their gazes.
Cold all of a sudden.
No.
From her vantage point, Frankie continues to observe them and steps closer to the railing. She places her hands on the wooden rungs of the barrier. She watches as Jimmy wraps his scarf around Eileen's neck to protect her from the cold. The pair stands mere inches apart. Frankie's mouth falls open, and a sadness washes over her. She shifts uneasily as she continues to observe her husband and her friend. From a higher vantage point, a view through binoculars shows Frankie watching the pair below her. She walks away from the railing just as Jimmy and Eileen resume their hike. On an upper level, Michelle lowers his binoculars with a somber expression. He gazes off in thought. Now, our view follows Frankie as she treks onward. She reaches a crest on the trail and comes to a stop, keeping her back to us. A sound catches her attention, and she turns. A distance away, Jimmy walks in the lead with Paul, Eileen, Sylvia, Ian, Maya, Michelle, and Thiago tailing him. Frankie's inscrutable expression slowly forms into a faint smile. Turning her gaze away from her family and against the breeze, she stares off. Frankie looks back toward the approaching group. An aerial view at dusk shows the family joining her at the edge of a cliff overlooking the ocean. Jimmy takes his place by her side. Paul joins them and stands a little further away. A few feet away, Sylvia and Ian come to a stop with Maya between them. On their left side, Eileen heads off alone and stands farthest from the others. Michelle and Thiago bring up the rear. The two men move to the right of Paul, a good distance away. Everyone gazes out at the ocean. The pale yellow glow of the setting sun glistens off the rippling water. As Frankie turns to leave, Jimmy lets his hand fall away from hers. He lingers a moment, then follows her. Paul turns to go, then Maya does as well. She hurries ahead of him, taking up the space between him and his mother and Jimmy. Sylvia heads back down with Ian beside her. Eileen follows the group. Thiago starts away, but Michelle stays behind, still gazing at the sunset. Thiago turns back, and Michelle catches up with him. The group strolls down the trail, leading away from the cliff. We linger on Thiago and Michelle as they walk together a good distance behind the others. The two men step out of view. The golden glow of the sun intensifies on the water. Cut to black. Credits appear. A film by Ira Sachs. Director of Photography, Hui Posis, AIP. Production designer and costume designer, Sylvia Grabowski. Editor, Sophie Wren. Original music by Dickon Hinchliffe. Portugal casting, Raquel da Silva. UK casting, Theo Park. First assistant director, Angela Sequeira. Production manager, Marianne Germain. Music editor, Susanna Perrick. Music supervisor, Elise Lugern. Sound mixer, Vasco Pimentel. Sound designer, Fred de Mulder. Re-recording mixer, Cyril Holtz. Unit production manager, Luis Tavares Alves. Script supervisor, Veronica Lupo. Credits roll. Cast in order of appearance. Isabel Huppert as Frankie. Senia Nanua as Maya. Ariane Bacare as Ian. Vinette Robinson as Sylvia. Jeremy Renier as Paul. Brendan Gleeson as Jimmy. Carlotto Cota as Thiago. Anna Brando as Luciana. Maria Daguia as Waitress. Marissa Tomei as Eileen. Greg Kinnear as Gary. Manuel Senoguera as Pedro. Maximo Francisco as Bento. Marcia Bria as Antonia. Joanna Cunha Ferreira as Joanna. Julia Guerra as Ermelinda. First camera assistant, Nuno Ferreira. Second camera assistant, Felipe Pantana. Third camera assistant, Rosa Cardoso. Second camera Steadicam, Leandro Vaz da Silva. Steadicam, Eberhard Schiedel. Second camera assistant, Danilo Sousa. Steadicam assistant, Bruno Lopez. Additional video assistants, Mariana Santana. Additional digital technician, Rodrigo Mateus. Location manager, Diogo Bernardes. Location scout, Rodrigo Candeas. Boom operator, Antonio Pedro Figueiredo. Second assistant director, Marcio Laranjeira. Third assistant director, Luis Nunes. Fourth assistant director, Jacopo Wasserman. Casting extras, Mafalda Marquez. Casting extras assistant, Simão Marinho. Stills photographers, Guy Ferrandes, André Principe, Nuno Barroso, Rui Xavier. Assistant to Ira Sachs, Vanessa Haratunian. Storyboard artists, Luke Bernay, Geronimo Rocha, Easy Lab. French translation, Gilles Brianti. Set maps, Maria Guiomar Gamero. Assistant production designer, Paula Zabo. Property master, Thelma de Jerusalem. Additional art, Gonzalo Gilbert, Artur Neves. Costume designer for Isabel Huppert, Khadija Sagai. Assistant costumers, Joanna Nobre Veloso, Vera Mendez, Keri Cucinata. Seamstress, Danzilia Faria. Additional costumes, Mariana Barros Montero. Music, original music by Dickon Hinchliffe. Moments Musico, Opus 94, D. 780, Number 2, Franz Schubert. Piano, Laurent Wagschel. Feliz Aniversario, Mildred J. Hill, Patti Smith Hill. Arabesque Number 1, composed by Claude Debussy. Voices of Spring, composed by Johann Strauss. Yesterday's Dreams, composed by Hans Engström. Mediterranean Summer, composed by Anthony Edwin Phillips and Chris White. Fado Bohemio y Vario, composed by Nuno de Nazareth and Enrique Amoroso. Copyright 2019, SBS Productions. Osom Ia Furia. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH, with funding from Sony Pictures Classics, read by Shannon Stokey. For more information about Motion Picture Access, visit our website at access.wgbh.org. A royal blue background fills the screen with white words at its center, Sony Pictures Classics.